out of respect, there was calls for us to postpone the episode this week due to the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. It's also football season, and, you know, we've excited for that to be back. So, sod the Queen, hit the music.
Lights, camera, action, folks! Murray throws! Touchdown, Arizona! DeAndre Hopkins! Quarterback draw. Murray, can he get there? Touchdown. Perfect.
Welcome to another episode of the best Arizona Cardinals podcast outside of the United States. Once again, I'm Tom. I'm joined by Callum to break down whatever that was we saw last night.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to football, I guess, Tom.
I mean, we'd rather it wasn't back, you know. Could it wait another week at least? Hopefully, then it can come back.
Yeah, I mean, I was considering doing like a joke where I just pretended the game didn't exist for the entire episode, but then really we wouldn't have much to talk about. But obviously football was back. Exciting time watching Red Zone in the early games, and then back to Arizona Cardinals not playing very well, really.
Yeah, I mean, such a miserable game, really, to kick the whole season off with. And I mean, people were thinking the worst just to begin with anyway, because, you know, you just do that anyway, don't they, naturally?
Yeah, they do. But and I think, you know, opening with the Chiefs was never going to be an easy game. I don't think many people had us to win it. I think the bookies were giving us, what, like a 6.5-point spread as well. But, you know, I think it's just pretty miserable to watch a game in which, you know, you're behind by two scores pretty much immediately and never have any chance of making that back up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good job people don't follow my betting advice, because I was like, on the WhatsApp group, I was like, yeah, -6.5, we'll cover that, surely. Good job nobody listens to me.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I definitely could have seen it. I can't remember what I predicted last week. I know I predicted a loss, but I don't think I predicted quite that big a loss. We can obviously get into the kind of particulars of the game after we've done our regular news section, which maybe has some things that might partially explain our loss.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the big news this past few days, since our last episode was recorded anyway at least, was the fact that Marcus Golden has signed a extension with the team, staying with us for another year till 2023.
Which I think is really exciting. You know, he was one kind of the one last big question mark in terms of contracts for us. And, you know, he's played really well for the team in the past. He knows the system, and it's great to have him in the defense.
Yeah, I mean, there was talk of him performing what they call a holding during training camp due to him not having any sort of job security after this year. But, you know, you've seen to it that he's getting another year in the desert. I think he's getting a bit more money as well on top, probably this year and next year, to spread it out a bit.
That would make sense. And I think, yeah, the kind of level he's getting paid at, the level of extension, it to me just reflects kind of him as one of like a, I guess you'd call him like a mid-tier defender, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's not getting crazy, crazy like Chandler Jones money, is he? But, you know, he's making a decent amount of money, and, you know, we wouldn't sniff at it if someone offered us $6 million a year to play it.
Well, precisely, yeah. I think ultimately, you know, there's not much more I have to say about that other than he's a good player. I think he's worth that. I think hopefully we'll see him settled. And yeah, hopefully we won't see him, like, you know, rest because he's been paid now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we need him to step up, because with Chandler Jones gone, we've not really got much at the pass rush ranks. You know, we're relying on young and experienced guys and him, basically.
Yeah, well, equally, I think you could look at it on, you know, there's a huge opportunity at pass rush. There's a lot of guys who could come in and fulfill that role and do a really good job at it. Whereas when you had Chandler Jones here, it would be silly to line anyone up with that responsibility other than Chandler Jones.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, speaking of Chandler Jones, we'll talk about him a bit later in the episode because obviously that's our next game against Las Vegas. But
yeah, indeed. In the meantime, though, in terms of players that are still on our roster, technically, I just wanted to talk a little bit about injuries, because before the game, kind of the two big headlines were Watt was still sitting, which was quite expected, still not ready, still not back to season fitness, or football fitness, rather. And then we also had Pugh out as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit surprised with that one, because obviously he'd been taking... Well, not surprised as such, because I think he had a bit of an injury during training camp, which is why they brought in Cody Ford. But then also he's part of the injured list at the moment as well. I think he's on injured reserve, isn't he, for the first 4 weeks?
He is, yeah. I think Justin Pugh, the surprising part for me was that he looked like he was trending. And I almost wonder whether the coaching staff was, you know, really like expecting him to be back season for game one of the season. And yeah, indeed, especially with Cody Ford, the replacement that we brought in for him going back out on injured reserve as well, it meant that the whole offensive line had quite a big shuffle.
Yeah, I mean, we had the replacement for the replacement of the replacement. So that's not ideal for week one of the season, is it? For any team?
No, it's really not. Bringing Max Garcia back, you know, it's a bit of a kind of stopgap measure and lots of roster shuffling, and particularly guys on the offensive line playing out of position. Definitely not ideal. But I guess the good thing is that we saw the whole offensive line play not dreadfully, like not as dreadfully as you would expect, right? And part of that's Kyler Murray being able to get rid of the ball quickly. But part of it is that they actually managed to keep themselves set.
Well, you say that, but then we look at the Pro Football Focus numbers from last night and they say a completely different story. But alas, we'll get onto that in a minute because we may as well get to the game, shouldn't we? Get it out of the way as soon as possible.
Yeah, and then never speak of it again. Cardinals back in Glendale, start of the season with a tricky game against Kansas City, going in as the underdogs, but coming out, I think, much worse off than anyone expected, with a 44-21 defeat.
Yeah, and I mean, really, that scoreline kind of flatters Arizona, doesn't it? Because for most of the game, they were held to 7 points, and then they scored the two touchdowns in what was basically garbage time in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I think the two touchdowns in the fourth quarter are you know, worthy of optimism, but yeah, it definitely is a score line that, you know, should Kansas City have been really, really going for it throughout the game, could have been much worse. I mean, they outscored us by, you know, more than 200 yards total offense. They had the majority of the possession despite scoring faster than we did. And they had 33 first downs to our 18. So, you know, it really was Kansas City football. And I think, you know, like part of it is that Arizona didn't play well. And we'll get onto that. But I think, you know, the other part to keep in mind is that I think Kansas City looked like a really, really good football team again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all the talk was of how are they going to cope without, like, Tyreek Hill there. And obviously, you brought in Juju Smith-Schuster, they brought in Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you've got plenty of weapons for Patrick Mahomes, and I think he used pretty much all of them, didn't he? He had like nine different receivers in the whole game.
Yeah, and let's not forget the classics of Travis Kelce and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who are both, you know, massive weapons on offense as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing, he's like struggled a bit since he's been their top pick a couple of years ago, but you know, last night he had two touchdowns and scored me a boatload of fantasy points, so thanks for that. And also thanks for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, overall, I think the game was really tough to watch. As I mentioned, you know, starting off in the first quarter and losing a touchdown on the very first drive of the season, really, really sort of tough to watch, and especially a sort of theme that you could see there that lasted throughout the whole rest of the game was how out physical the defense seemed to be. You know, it always seemed like every Chiefs player that was next to a Cardinals player looked twice as big and twice as athletic and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously one of the big issues coming into this game was the depth at cornerback, wasn't it? Because it was basically Byron Murphy, who he had missed a couple of days practice with an illness, but thankfully he played. And then we had Marco Wilson. But then the guy that we traded for, what's his name? The guy from the Raiders, he's also injured now. So, you know, we needed to find a replacement for him. And our replacement for him, I think, was Jace Whittaker, and nobody likes him for good reason.
It meant as well that there was a lot of extra duty for guys like Buda Baker, and it meant that guys again like Simmons were being, you know, pulled back into more of that kind of safety role, more of that kind of free safety role. And I think, frankly, it all just led to a whole load of busted coverages. And then a whole load of, you know, when the coverage was right, people just being completely outplayed physically.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, you look at the Kansas City offense, it's a lot of, like, movement, like, lots of crossing routes and everything, you know, like, just to, like, get guys open. And, you know, when you've got a guy like Patrick Mahomes, he's just going to get the ball out to anyone as soon as they're open. And then they just sprint down the field, make a small play into a massive play. And it's like, it's no wonder they're like amongst the favourites in the whole league, because, you know, they're just that good on offense.
Yeah, and I think that's the bit that's really hard to untangle, especially with only one game in the season, is how much of this is the Cardinals playing poorly and how much of it is the Chiefs playing well. But, you know, I think when you get into that second touchdown that the Chiefs had, you know, ever so quickly after the first, scored with a sort of shovel pass, I think, to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just yet more bags of tricks out of the Andy Reid playbook, isn't it? You know, what could have been if he was our head coach all those years
ago? Yeah, well, I don't quite know if it was a trick play, you know, like by design, or if it was just a case of the coverage was so strange that just made it a viable pass, you know?
It's probably just Patrick Mahomes as well wanting to pad his passing numbers. I mean, he had like five touchdown passes, and a couple of them were just like on the goal line, weren't they? So it's like,
yeah,
you're not really passing the ball. You're just like sort of shoving it forward, and it's like that counts as a touchdown for him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, great day in the office for Patrick Mahomes. And if any Patrick Mahomes fantasy owners would have been pretty pleased with that.
Yes, I was. I was very pleased.
There you go.
And distraught at the same time.
I mean, I think it was about this time that after the going down two touchdowns, the Cardinals did show a couple of spikes of promises on offense. I think, you know, they really kind of got the sticks moving towards the end of the first quarter, and James Conner was, you know, out there giving big looks as both a running back and a wide receiver, and, you know, catching and running and all of that stuff really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shame that we were two scores down before they actually started putting an offensive series together, but, you know, they needed to get something done there, because, like, had that gone to, like, 21-0, it would have been, like, God, I'd hate to have been, like, in the crowd there, because it was just gone ugly, wouldn't it? Real ugly.
It would have been pretty miserable, and, you know, but I think, you know, seeing those flashes of kind of good offense is the kind of thing that you can rely on, I guess, for hope this year.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, you know, we're not always going to be playing against an offense as good as Kansas City, are we? So the defense isn't always going to look as bad as that, and obviously when reinforcements come back in, and, you know, maybe some free agents are signed in the next few weeks, you know, they may just improve as the season goes on. You know, this could be like, things have just got to get better from here, aren't they?
Well, I would certainly hope they can't get any worse.
But I mean, we know Cardinals football, and it can get worse than that. A lot worse.
Very, That's very true. I think again here, this is where we started to see some bits of breakout plays from one Greg Dortch.
Yep, the standout. Well, I say standout. He was sort of joint standout with Andy Isabella during preseason on the offense, at least.
Yep.
And then he just seemed to.
It was just one of those names that kept propping up sort of every week or so with, Greg Dortch got a good highlight play. Greg Dortch played this, get, you know, whatever else it was.
I think he made a really good catch in this one, didn't he? A bit down the field. Like he made a good big leap for it.
He made a good couple of them. And it was kind of one of the rays of hope, I guess, kind of keeping the offense moving. Nice, safe hands, good plays, good sense of space. I think the only thing he could have done extra for me would be getting some more yards after catch. But frankly, that's asking a lot when he was one of the few rays of sunshine in that game.
Well, yeah, exactly. We had to we're basically scraping the barrel for positives when it comes to this, just analysing this game as a whole, isn't it? Find anything positive.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think if we're talking about finding anything positive, Kyler Murray's running is as effective as ever. When he gets out there, he's very, very hard to catch. James Conner still got it with, good goal line work. And the offense in general was showing some really, really good bits in the playbook.
Yeah, but it just wasn't there consistently, was it? And then, when they do one good thing, it'd be then a couple of incomplete passes, and it's roll out to Andy Lee again for the fifth time of the afternoon.
Yeah, and really, really poor third down conversions.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things. It's I know we struggle sometimes with them because it just gets sometimes third and really long, and it's we're not picking this up, are we? So may as well just punt it already.
But I think, really good teams, when they lose on third downs and they lose the possession there, they still tend to get something out of it. They tend to be able to get, you don't aim necessarily for conversion, but you aim to get a couple yards and then get a better punt out of it. Or you aim to establish your run game a bit more. Or, you find something, whereas I find watching the Cardinals quite often, the three and outs feel like they're over extremely quickly. It's almost a matter of formality. It didn't take any clock. It was just three dropped passes and a punt,
Yeah, I suppose that's one of the reasons as well why the defense may struggle half the time, because it's they've done their bit, they've got the ball back for the offense. They go on the sidelines for a quick breather. And then it's three plays later, punting the ball away, gone, back out again. And it's not really a quick breather, it's just a non-existent breather.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like they weren't taking punishment out there as well. I do think that, this is ultimately a bit it's hard to unpick, because do I say that the defense lost us the game, or that Kansas City's offense was just too good for us? It's a bit of both, right? But you can take a bit of the blame off of the defense in that sense, because really the offense needed to be holding on to the ball more.
Oh yeah, it's one of those things, you're not going to win if your offense is not on the field half the time, is it? Because your defense is just going to be there getting tired, and then when they do need to make a stop, they're just going to be completely gassed and have nothing left in the tank whatsoever.
So, exactly. And, the opposing offense gets energy from being able to march down the field on you as well, which you saw throughout the game,
Yeah, it's just such a horrible game.
I'll tell you something that we can't put on necessarily the defense or the offense, and it's a small point, but I think it's worth talking about. The end of the second quarter, we're down, God knows how much, we're down three touchdowns, basically. We managed to give Kansas City a field goal because essentially the clock management was so poor.
No, actually, end of the sec end of the second quarter, we had the ball, didn't we? It was,
we did, yeah.
It was 21-7. And they were saying, you know, if the, because obviously the Cardinals won the toss and deferred to the second half. So basically, had the Cardinals put like a scoring drive together at the end of the half, made it like 14-21.
Yeah, you
get the ball back.
Score again.
Yeah, and then you get the ball back and then do the same thing after the half, make it 21-21. Completely different ball game. But
hugely, yeah. And you know, that kind of momentum is invaluable.
And I mean, obviously, that's the reason why Cliff Kingsbury's always like, if you do win the toss, you defer, because that's basically the game plan, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's a good game plan to have. But equally, I think if you're up against an opponent like Kansas City, you know, allowing them that first drive touchdown, that's a bit of a morale destroyer, really.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's not like Kansas City need any help with, like, getting yards on offense, is it? But, you know, so many times you had those stupid 15-yard penalties for just players doing dumb shit, like, you know, hitting the quarterback late or hitting guys out of bounds. It's like, you don't need to give them the 3 yards because they're just going to get them anyway.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is the kind of, you know, play to the whistle stuff that gets drilled into you in camp. And then, you know, you kind of need to relearn how to play real football, I guess, when the season actually comes about. But yeah, I mean, it's still no excuse. And I think Kansas City were feeling it by the second half as well, because, you know, we received the kickoff, pretty much immediately lost the ball, and then had a touchdown that Kansas City had a touchdown that should have actually absolutely been a pick. You know, it was a kind of soft lob of a pass, like almost an underhanded lob to Travis Kelce, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there was also one of those plays where it looked like we could have had the interception, and, you know, that would have like also helped change the game. But of course, had Isaiah Simmons caught the ball and picked it off Patrick Mahomes, it would have been wiped out completely anyway, because there was a flag on the play for someone being offside, I think.
Oh, was there? I didn't even notice that bit of it. But I was just, to me, I was too wrapped up in the idea that it was like they just disrespected our secondary that much that they were like, you know, we can throw little lob passes to each other. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where it's like, you know, it just seemed to be way too easy for them to like move the ball just throughout the game, I think. Managed to stop them a couple of times, but it was like nowhere near enough.
No, absolutely. And you know, I think ultimately the Cardinals won the turnover battle by some miracle. It was just one of those tough games in that regard. And I don't know how many more times I can kind of keep saying it, but the defense's morale just looked completely shaken, you know, from the first quarter onwards.
Yeah, and I mean, you say, like, they actually won the turnover battle, but I think, you know, in itself, that's a positive to take from the game, because usually, you know, we see Kyler make those stupid mistakes, you know, trying to get as much, like, score immediately, like, and then he gets picked off. We didn't see any of that. I mean, maybe that was a bad thing because, you know, we could have done with a few of those downfield shots, but
we did see a couple of fumbles from James Conner that were kind of lucky to be recovered in the way that they were.
Yeah, I think one of them goes down as a Kyler Murray fumble because it was him handing the ball off, but we did recover that one. So
true. But I got to say, I think if we're talking, like, if we want to take out some positives from this kind of the second half and the offense in the second half, I would have to say that the run game still looks promising. Kansas City have a solid run defense, and I think, you know, had they had less of a solid run defense, maybe we'd have been able to keep those third downs converted. But yeah, James Conner really coming out and being a bit of a one-man offense, and Eno Benjamin as well, putting in a couple of solid plays as a, you know, promising backup.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty late on when we saw, you know, Benjamin. I think it was actually late into the third quarter when someone other than James Connor had the ball handed off to them.
I mean, frankly, if you're in that situation, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, and I mean, like you say about Kansas City's run defense being like pretty good. I mean, that Chris Jones they've got, he was just a menace all game, wasn't he? He was just knocking everyone into the backfield, you know, batting balls down, harassing Kyler Murray. It was just, you'd love to have someone like him on the team.
Yeah, I mean, huge energy from him and you know, like great work from him as well. But I think the fact that we were able to get a run game going the way that we were, despite all of that, yeah, I think that that's a positive that we can take out of this, especially, you know, after we were kind of worried, like, oh, is James Connor going to be able to carry it all himself? Pretty much, yes. And then if he's not able to later in the season, you know, Benjamin looks promising.
Yeah, and I suppose the thing we were waiting to see a lot more of and hoping to see more of in this game was the Kyler Murray to Marquise Hollywood-Brown connection. And we had to wait pretty much till the fourth quarter for that to explode, even though it wasn't much of an explosion.
Yeah, very much into garbage time, as we mentioned before, but a couple of good catches, beautiful maiden touchdown for Hollywood-Brown. In a closer game, that would have been a huge, fun highlight reel. In this game, it just feels a bit sad.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, it opens his account for the Cardinals, and same way with Zach Ertz, he got his first touchdown of the season later in the...
Yeah.
Which, basically, all it did was make the scoreline a bit more flattering to the Cardinals.
Well, Zach Ertz's was a two-point conversion, right?
Yeah, he got a two-point conversion and he got a touchdown catch.
I was thinking about the Zach Ertz two-point conversion and thinking, like, God, that's a wasted look to put on film now. You know, a two-point conversion in garbage time? Like, there really was no way that that was going to be a score that was worth anything. And now it's a play that's on film.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Cliff Kingsbury got like a million different like two-point conversion things that he could bring out.
It's true.
And I suppose he may as well use that one again later in the season because, you know, if Kansas City can't stop it, maybe another team can't either.
Yeah, very true. And I suppose as well, like, if ever there was a time to practice against, you know, another team or something like that, you might as well practice it then. It's basically a touchdown red zone practice. In a game that doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's not really much else to say about the game, is there? Like, you know, Kansas City just brought in their seventh round rookie draft pick and he ran the ball, scored another touchdown just to, you know, embarrass the Cardinals in their own stadium.
Well, you say their own stadium, but there was an awful lot of noise being made by Chiefs fans, and every so often, it's hard to tell when both teams wear red primarily, but I think we're back to that age-old State Farm Stadium problem of more away fans arriving than home fans.
Well, I suppose it's not to be, considering the fact that the Cardinals have now lost, is it six home games in a row?
Yeah, it's quite significant.
Yeah, like, who's going to be wanting to pay their money just to go watch that and hope, you know, maybe they're going to change it around this year or this week?
I thought it was supposed to be Bird City.
Well, I mean, you know, people hate that hashtag and they love telling me so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, kind of not final thoughts on the game, but overall thoughts on the game. Some promising bits on offense, some huge problems on defense that need to be sorted out. The Chiefs are a really good team. It's hard to get an exact measure on where the Cardinals are at, but really they're going to have to up their game if they want to get more than a handful of wins this season.
Yeah, I mean, I know we go on a bit on this podcast, you know, how like pointless the Pro Football Focus numbers can be, but I want to read a few of them out from this game because some of them were like really like really, really bad.
Oh, go on then.
So, let's see. Give me a player, and I'll see if they're on the list.
Isaiah Simmons.
Isaiah Simmons, he scored a 39.3, which is not good.
No, it's not.
But it's not the worst.
Who would be the worst in the Cardinals? Where are our cornerbacks at?
Cornerbacks, well, we had Byron Murphy, 58.4. And I'm sure I saw, what's his name? I'm sure I saw Marco Wilson somewhere, but obviously, Marco Wilson, 46.9. Again, not great.
Yeah.
Do you want to know the worst score?
Go on then.
27.3.
Oof. Who got that?
And that was Sean Harlow, the guard. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even worse about his score, his pass block grade was 0.0.
Seriously?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was. I'm sure he was dominated by Chris Jones all game long. So that's probably why.
What a tough night out for him.
I mean, there were some good performances. I mean, Dennis Gardeck, 91.9. Rashard Lawrence, 89.8. Eno Benjamin, 81.6. Kelvin Beecham, 72.1. Marquise Brown, 71.6. DJ Humphreys, 69.7.
Nice. And what about Sir Greg Dortch?
Greg Dort. I mean, we thought he played well, but obviously they didn't. They only got a 61.9.
Yeah. I do get it. I think it's a useful resource. And, you know, I think somebody scoring a 0.0 on pass rush over 60 minutes, that's a tough day in the office right there.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you get the backup to the backup starting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, once again, it goes to show, hopefully, if we can get the right puzzle pieces in, then hopefully we can make a big difference there. But, you know, we've got some tough games coming up. We've not got a simple schedule this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the schedule, I mean, obviously kicking off with Kansas City, who, you know, could possibly be back in the Super Bowl this year.
Quite easily, I think, yeah. I think they're favourites for a reason. And to be honest, I mean, again, who knows whether it's the Cardinals being particularly bad or them being particularly good. But Kansas City looked a lot like a Super Bowl caliber team last night, whereas Arizona very much didn't.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's not like it's not like the end of the world, is it? It's not like we're going to be like going now, yeah, let's fire Steve Keim and fire Cliff Kingsbury because we're calm and reasonable people in Cardinals world.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd written this in my notes for this episode to kind of discuss just before we got on to everything else. But let's talk damage limitation here, right? This is game one of the season. It's one game against a really, really tough opponent. We can't be letting the doom and gloom set in immediately, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's plenty of good things about this Cardinals team. It's just the fact we were underhanded against one of the best teams in the league. And, you know, they just put us to the sword and we had no answer for it whatsoever.
Yeah. You know, and I think as well, in particular, these kind of games can get out of your hand really quite quickly. We've discussed a few scenarios, I know, and it's very easy to play what ifs afterwards. But a few scenarios where the Cardinals keep it to a one score game, they keep it to a two score game, and then who knows what happens, you know, as you get into the late third and early fourth quarter. It, you know, it just got out of hand so quickly. And I don't think it necessarily needed to in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you know, like we said before, you know, had we scored that touchdown, got the ball back in the second half, and then scored another touchdown, 21-21, who knows what happens from there? But, yeah. You know, what ifs do win your games, do we?
Well, exactly.
But they do give us content to speak about on the podcast, so, you know.
They do. Whatever. And I think we should consider putting a sort of final nail into the coffin of this game, and discuss who the player of the game was. When I was writing this out, I actually didn't know the results of your Twitter poll. And I really had it down as an Andy Lee player of the game kind of game. But it turns out I wasn't right on that.
No, I mean, it was pretty one-sided in their voting, but the easy winner of the Week 1 Player of the Game award was wide receiver Greg Dortch.
Yeah, I think for me, if I was to pick a non-Andy Lee one, it would be between him and James Conner, really.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, you know, there were a couple of players who had really good games, like Dortch, Conner, you know, Benjamin looked good. On the defensive side, Dennis Gardeck, obviously he scored well with PFF, so he must have done something right. And also, I thought Buda Baker was all right. You know, obviously, it wasn't a great night for the defense, but he was just his usual self, wasn't he? Like, all over the field, making tackles. Just the Buda Baker game, really.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think when you've got such a tough secondary around you, or a secondary having such a tough game, rather, you know, it's, you got to kind of you got to take it with a grain of salt there, I guess.
Yeah. So I know obviously it's weird that we are recording this one on a Monday night, spoiler alert. So there is still a game of real football to play, but there's also fantasy football that's been going on this whole weekend. So should we talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, indeed. The obviously the NFL football wasn't cancelled, much like the English football was.
Stupid Queen.
Yeah, after all of that particular drama. But fantasy football wise, a bit of a mixed bag for me. How were you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, mine was a mixed bag as well. Like, speaking of the Dynasty League, like, projections had me going into this one pretty nice, you know. But then, Sunday Night Football, Dak Prescott went out after scoring 4 points and breaking his hand or doing something to his hand, so.
So I was looking at that this morning and I was like, oh, Dak Prescott, he must have got injured, like, really, really early on in the game. And nope, turns out that was after four quarters.
Was it? Yeah. No, I think he was pulled out quite a bit because he's fractured his thumb or something.
Yeah, but he didn't like technically go out until much later on.
Yeah, he's expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks. So my backup quarterback is Matthew Stafford, and he's also a bit crocked at the moment, so... That's wonderful.
You might be in the market for one.
Nah, I'll just have to see if Geno Smith's available.
Yeah, meanwhile, my Dynasty League team, I'm still waiting on Melvin Gordon results to come in. But unless he has an insane week and scores about 80 points, I think I'm out of it. Dean has managed to score 220-odd points. Whereas I'm sitting down in the low 150s by the looks of projections. Whereas in the Bird Gang Bowl itself, I've scored actually almost the exact same amount of points, which would be really respectable for that league, except Kyler's study corner, or cursed team of that one, managed to score 186 points after like brilliant performances from Josh Allen, Kareem Hunt, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I mean, it's a better story for me in the Bird Gang Bowl as well, because I'm on my way to winning in week one.
Nice.
Currently up 140 to 125.98 with nobody left to play for the opponent, whereas I've still got Denver's defense and Denver's kicker. And nice. That's also with a player scoring 0 points. Stupid tight end.
I mean, that's not... That's not an impossible thing to overcome.
I've got a 15-point lead and he's got nothing left to play.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. I, for some reason, I thought you were saying you were 15 points behind. Well, that's pretty solid position to be in. But a couple of interesting kind of goose eggs as well this week. I've had a few teams where I've had to last minute sub out George Kittle and a few teams with Cam Akers kind of not showing up in.
Yeah, it's just week one for fantasy football. It's just that really hard to predict. Likewise, NFL pick'ems.
Well, yeah, exactly. NFL pick'ems wise, obviously we don't have our full thing in. And unfortunately, I can't get into my account at the moment.
Yeah, so before we go this week, we've got the game preview to come for the Cardinals week two game, where they will be heading to the other desert of Nevada to take on the Las Vegas Raiders in their fancy new stadium.
Yeah, this will be the Cardinals' first time in the fancy new stadium, right?
It will. Well, I mean, it'll be the Raiders' first time actually playing a meaningful game in it, won't it? So,
Yeah, very good point, actually, after all the kind of strange delays and things like that that happened with it. But, yeah, Las Vegas. obviously, this will be the first time that Arizona's ever played Las Vegas Raiders, but last meaningful game that they had with them, because they had a 2019 and a cancelled 2020 preseason game. Last meaningful game with the Raiders, Arizona lost 21-23 in 2018, but both of them were 2-8 at the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's going back quite a bit, and I'm trying to think who was quarterback then. Was he like John Skelton, possibly?
2018.
God, my history's terrible at the moment.
No, 2018 was still Derek Carr, right? Over there.
I know, I mean, for us. I'm trying to think, did we have a quarterback then?
Josh Rosen, right? Was 2018 Josh Rosen there?
Possibly. I tried to forget all those years, you know, the bad years.
Yeah.
Concerned history along with this Kansas City game and that London thing, what never happened.
Yeah, well, exactly. But no, I think that it was either the Josh Rosen year or it was the first Kyler Murray year that was a really tough one.
Oh, no, it wasn't Kyler. We were better than that year.
Yeah.
I think it must have been Rosen because, you know, 2-8, that sounds like a Mike McCoy type year.
Yeah, yeah. It was a nasty little 21-23 loss to the Raiders last time out, a game that we lost by turning over the ball a couple too many times. But now, I think obviously two very different teams. Obviously, we've got Kyler at quarterback. But probably the kind of big headline there is that ex-Cardinal Chandler Jones is over in Las Vegas now.
Yeah, I mean, he got his big payday, didn't he, just to go to waste it all in the casinos of Las Vegas?
Big payday that was well-deserved, I think. It's just a shame the Cardinals can't really like afford that along with all of the other contracts. But, yeah, obviously spent a couple years with us, very, very successful in those couple of years. Couple Pro Bowl seasons, couple record-breaking seasons. The real question is, do we think he's done, or do you think he's ready to come and cause havoc?
Well, I mean, I think he had like two tackles in their season opener, so.
Yeah. But then again, excuse me, I think this would be a good game to have a healthy offensive lineback.
Yeah. And sorry, before we do move on, I obviously had to go look back at this 21-23 game. It was Josh Rosen at quarterback.
It was, okay.
Where he completed 9 of 20 passes for 136 yards, 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Like, what the fuck is that?
It's such an odd stat line, isn't it? It's like, completed fewer than half of his passes, but the ones he completed were absolutely banging.
And one of them was a 59-yard pass to Christian Kirk, so it's like, the rest of his yardage must have come from God knows what.
Yeah, just like 9 red zone passes. The rest of it was all running.
We also had David Johnson having 25 carries for 137 yards.
Yeah, there you go. That explains it then, really, doesn't it?
God, what a game, though. It even had Larry Fitzgerald doing things.
Gosh, what a different team.
I know. Yet he still lost to the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time the Raiders were really a force to be reckoned with? Every so often I hear people talking about how the Raiders are making a comeback or something like that, and then they always, you know, crash and burn within a few games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching the NFL for, 10 plus years now, and I don't remember any time where the Raiders are, a team anyone really speaks about as a contender. I mean, they still don't really, but, you know. We've had some investment this year, but there's no way they're going to be, the force in the AFC when there's, KC, when there's Buffalo, you know.
Yeah.
Indianapolis as well, I'd say, are much better than the Raiders, you know. LA Chargers as well, you know. There's just way too many good teams in that conference for the Raiders to be relevant.
Yeah, they really have got a tough conference. And, I would say the Raiders have to be one of the big arguments for reshuffling the league around a little bit. But, I think this could be a really, really good game in the context of our season start and how things are, you know, looking for the Cardinals after a really, really tough previous game. This could be a good way to kind of reset and refocus a little bit.
Yeah, and I suppose I did also seem to brush over the obvious fact that they did bring in Davante Adams in the offseason, you know.
Yeah,
one that people say is the best wide receiver in the league, but, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is still around, so it's clearly not true.
I don't know, for some reason I always think of Adams as being a little bit past it or a little bit, was shown up by having a really good quarterback.
You say that, but you look at Green Bay yesterday without him and, you know, exactly.
Yeah, but I also think, you know, Aaron Rodgers has kind of lost his pizzazz a little bit as well, right? So it's a little bit of a combo there of losing your quarterback and losing your best wide receiver. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely worth remembering, especially after how badly bullied our secondary got by Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, who's a great wide receiver, but he's not one of the top elite guys, I would say.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously they've got tight end who could probably give us some headaches as well. It's Darren Waller, who's signed a big extension as well, so he'll be in Las Vegas for a few more years.
One of the bigger pass catching tight ends, at least.
I mean, my fantasy team wouldn't mind him having a Travis Kelce like game, but, you know, again, that's selfish. And, you know, I'd rather see a Cardinals win and a fantasy loss, but if it happens, it happens. You can't blame me for it.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think if the Cardinals want to get a win out of their first couple of games, this is the time to do it. Because after the Raiders game, we're away to the Rams, and then we have our old nemesis, the Panthers, at home, who just seem to trounce us every year, regardless of how well they're playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones. It's like, you know, we could do with a win here because LA will want to get revenge on us for beating them at their home last year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I suppose he did that in the playoffs, but, you know, they'd like to kick us again while we're down because they're twats like that, aren't they?
Well, I think, you know, LA is never not going to be a tough game. And, you know, if we're going to beat them, we need to go in and we need to be playing well and not rely on them having a bad game. And to me, I think, you know, the best chance that we've got of going in there playing well is to get some momentum from a relatively easy game against the Raiders.
I mean, I wouldn't call it an easy game, but I think it's definitely easier than Kansas City.
Yes, absolutely. It's easier than Kansas City. And, you know, who knows with the Panthers, they're a hard one to call at the best of years. But, you know, obviously these divisional matchups are a big deal, and they, you know, set the tone for the rematch later in the season as well. So I don't know. I just think that this game against the Raiders coming up, it could be a bit of a bellwether for the season, really.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we win this one, we go to 1-1. People are thinking, you know, yeah, you know, obviously Kansas City are a good team. We just beat a better team. We beat them by a better team. Yeah, people aren't going to be that reasonable, are they?
No, no, they're not. I think the problem is if we go for if we go 1-1, people say, all right, well, yeah, they should have beaten the Raiders anyway, right? But if we go 0-2, oh, it's the end of the world. We'll be 30th in the power rankings, you know, all of that stuff. It will be horrible. And we'll be down in the doldrums for a couple of weeks at least until we can get a more favorable matchup, like perhaps the Eagles or almost certainly the Seahawks. But that I really don't want to have to wait until mid-October before we're looking at a game that we're coming in as favourites in.
Can you imagine the Cam Out Brigade would be all over that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they really would be. And yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Raiders game itself, I don't know if there is really a key to winning it, but it's really pretty much do the opposite of what you did in the game just gone, isn't it?
Yeah, basically score more points than you offer. Then you basically just need to score more points than their opponent and then they'll win.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's in the immortal words of John Madden.
It's not rocket science, is it?
It's not rocket science, no.
So will they score more than their offense? Or, God, why am I saying offense? Right? Will they score more than their opponents?
Will the Cardinals score more than the Raiders? I think that they will. We've seen that they're capable of scoring 21 points in a tough game. So I'm going to give them 24 points this time, and I'm going to put the Raiders in for 14.
Okay, I'm going to go for a reverse of our previous game. So,
oh, nice.
I'll go 23-21 to the Cardinals.
Okay.
I didn't mean the 44. I mean, I'd love to score 44.
I thought you were going to give the Cardinals 44 points there, and I was thinking, wow, that would be a way to have a bit of a comeback and get some energy into the team.
I mean, if they want to score 44 points, I won't complain.
Yeah, I'd be very pleased. But I'd be very pleased to come and speak about a game with 44 points. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think this is a game that I was a lot more confident about at the start of the season, but after last week, I don't know, I'm getting that bad feeling again.
I'm just hoping we have a few more bodies on the team, you know, a few more guys back in action, you know.
That would
guys
be great.
Not on snap counts like Zach Ertz, you know, get him a bit more involved. Get Marquise Brown involved, you know, get James Conner going, get Eno Benjamin going, get Kyler Murray chucking the ball.
It'd be great to see JJ Watt begin to look like he was getting healthy again as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. We like just need the reinforcements and then, you know, then we'll see how good this team really is or how bad they are.
Well, I guess all we can do is wait and hope and tune in next week for next week's British Bird Gang Breakdown, where we will break down Las Vegas Raiders versus Arizona and hopefully be less miserable than this week.
Although, to be honest, in the grand scheme of things, we're not that miserable, are we? Because, you know...
No. I've still got optimism for the rest of the season.
And we do have a bank holiday next week, so cheers to that.
We've got a bank holiday next week.
But yes, so as always, thanks for listening to the British Bird Gang Breakdown. If you're not following us on Twitter, go follow us at British Bird Gang. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/British Bird Gang and join the group at facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. Buy British Bird Gang merch at britishbirdgang.tmall.com. And of course, if you like what you listen to on the podcast, then of course, leave us a review. Wherever it is you get your podcast, share it with everyone you know. Post it on Reddit, post it on the internet, post it on Facebook, Twitter, anywhere. Anywhere that will listen to us, we'll just take the listeners because we need them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we don't need them. I think we would do this regardless of if anyone listens, but, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, it helps, you know, when we see, there's a million people listening. But, you know, there isn't a million people listening, sadly.
One day, though.
One day, yes. But until then, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again next week.
Thanks for listening, and see you next week.